Hello, dear friends, and welcome back to Divine Chaos. I have missed being here with you. I don't know if you tend to listen on a regular basis, but if you're one of our followers that stays consistently up with our podcast, you might have noticed that I've taken a bit of a break. Let's see. Since mid-December, it's been a little bit of a ride. And I'm thinking this is really fitting and probably a really good opportunity to reach out to those, well, to all of us who have those times in life. Do you ever feel where everything just hits all at once? And you really just kind of get the rug pulled out from under you. And life is just hard. Sometimes life can just be hard. And it can really knock you down and get you going all the deeper into, oh my gosh, what is the point of all of this struggling? I guess I need to go back just so all of you know, just to fill you in. That question being, do you ever have times when it just seems like everything hits all at once? In early December, we learned that Jerry needed to have open heart surgery, which was just so shocking for us. He needed a triple bypass, found out that every major artery was almost 100% blocked for him, which was a shock in itself, given that Jerry is the healthiest eater any of us will ever know. He is an amazing advocate of exercise, and he is always the one that's saying, when are we going to work out today? Like, he cannot live without his workouts. So he's just the perfect picture of someone who should not have heart problems. So there was that. There was also my mother, same week that he was going in for surgery, ended up in the hospital. Holes did kind of downward spiral for my 90-year-old mother. She ended up needing to go into rehab, and now we had to help her transition to a new place, a higher level of care, and then dementia set in. So there was that. And then a dear friend of mine has had a 14-year journey with cancer, really just needed to surrender to it and made her transition here just about 10 days ago. So, you know, do you ever have those times where it's just everything all at once? And grief hits as well. And the ego kicks in and pulls you away from being able to get centered and grounded and remember your connection. Because, you know, when you have these storms come up, then you also have lots of other issues arise, unresolved things, complicated relationships, just a variety of different dynamics that kick in. It's kind of interesting. So I had to take a bit of a break even from my counseling practice to be able to focus on Jerry's care and everything else. But as I'm getting back into it, I'm noticing so many other folks who I'm working with, life is just hard right now. And perhaps it's more partially here in Ohio anyway. It's just been gray and dark. So sometimes the seasons can also tend to bring us down when we're missing the sunshine. And though there's just lots of people who just have a lot of complicating things come up, lots of layers of grief. Seems to parallel, I guess, what seems to be happening in the world. Just all of the trauma, all of everything just painful being unearthed in a way. And it reminds me of a message that love itself had given me really just before all this hit, which was that, yes, great pain is bringing forth a great awakening. And so often we have to, it's the pain, it's the struggle that brings us into looking deeper, into remembering who we are and who we are not. We go in and out of these modes of separation and buying into all the ego messages and the guilt and the fear. And then somehow it's kind of like we have to dive down deep into that well of separation till we can bring it back again to love and remember who we really are. So I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. I've had counselor friends and clients just also struggling. There are just times when life is hard, and it seems to be more the case here recently. Like, a lot of hard stuff is just being unearthed. I think it was Nietzsche that said, "You must have chaos within you to give birth to a dancing star." And it feels like there's a lot of chaos for many people, and there certainly has been for me recently. But I've been wanting to start today's podcast with a message that I received from Love Itself, kind of on the heels of all of this. It was mid-January, just a couple weeks ago. Wow, it feels like it's been months. but no, just a couple weeks. And it would have been good if I had reread this message every day since then, actually. But this message came to me on the heels of me just expressing all of this stuff, like, oh, all the pain, all the struggle, and going, why? And I thought this was going to be easier. I didn't think this was going to go this way. And I guess I should give you a little bit more backstory. You know, when Jerry finally went in to have his surgery, we both were really hit, although I was witnessing it. He was just in kind of crisis mode, with such an array of some caregivers, folks in the healthcare staff, being like guardian angels, and others being at such a low level of consciousness that, you know, we were witnessing neglect, and just his pain was not managed well at all. And it was just so disheartening to see such a vast spectrum from love to just complete callousness. And so that was one of the things I was bringing to Love Itself. Like, I thought you were going to do better by us. I thought you were going to make sure he was 100% well cared for. I didn't expect that there would be the suffering that seemed so unnecessary. And that wasn't just for Jerry, you know, seeing that with just such a variety, my friend, everyone who was struggling through all these different issues. So anyway, there's a little bit of the backstory preceding this message. So I'm just laying it out to Love Itself, you know, help me get this. So disappointed, so hurt, so shattered, like, yeah, this didn't go the way I thought you said it was going to go. And this is what I received from Love Itself. "My dear child, what you have forgotten is that everyone has chosen their own journey and their own lessons." And Love named people specifically here. I won't do that, but your friends, your mother, your siblings, Jerry, your kids, each one. "It's not for you to interfere. It is only for you to love and accept. Yes, it is a joyless place, and that is why you must remember you are not there. And return again into love's embrace. You remain in love, where the world and the story lines loosely, that you may accept the reality of your home with me in love. You live in love, where you remember in each holy instant of perfect trust and acceptance. Are you open to receive my love? For I am here for you in each moment that you accept the atonement for yourself. Forgiveness for having made a world apart from me. You see now, that is how you wake up from this dream. Forgive yourself for choosing to dream apart from me. You are always welcome home into my embrace. Return to the pure love that you are and let go the dream. Thus will you also return to joy and your natural state with me. Now you see why you can't do it partially. It's either wholly true or wholly false. A split mind cannot wholly accept the truth or the false. Only one is real. Okay, so let me go back. Love enters with this. What you have forgotten is that everyone has chosen their own journey and their own lessons. That's the piece that's tricky. At some level, our higher selves, our souls, before we come into form, make a choice about what lessons it is we want to learn, what we want to experience. And then even, you know, as we come into our bodies and we get at some level to choose if we're going to be experiencing life in different forms and different ways and with different people. And with that, even like the caregivers, the folks whose lives we interact with or relationships, everyone's at different levels and different lessons. We're all coming into this place of remembering, but some of us are a lot more in touch with the remembering and that we've kind of been living in this dream, and others are really, really lost still in the ego domain and the control and the judgment. And though love saying it's not for you to interfere, that was kind of bold to me. Like, look, you're interfering when you think you should be able to fix things. Because for me, the ego had really kicked in. Like, I should have been able to prevent this suffering. If I had just prepared enough, I could have made it so that Jerry wouldn't have had to go through the pain that he was experiencing. Or, you know, if I were a better daughter, somehow I could have said enough, done enough, so my mother could have stayed out of the hospital. Just all these ego illusions that somehow we should be able to control the outcomes. And yet love is saying it's not for you to interfere. It's only for you to love and accept. And that, that's a tough one to accept and to love. And then love goes on and says, it really is a joyless place. And I think love's saying this, especially when you're forgetting who you are, when you are in this place of thinking you should be able to fix something and you're forgetting that love is here for you and that you remain in love. Love says, wear the world and the storylines loosely, that you may accept the reality of your home with me in love. You live in love, where you remember in each holy instant of perfect trust and acceptance. I think love is saying here, we don't remember that we live in love until we have the trust and the acceptance. So we put up these blocks. Our ego creates these blocks to remembering that love is here for us, as we're resisting and thinking that we should fix and thinking things should be different than they are. It's a whole like 180 to find the love, to remember that we live in love. We have to first release the blocks. We have to first let go of the ego, which is why then love, the next line was, are you open to receive my love? For I'm here for you in each moment, that you accept the atonement for yourself, which means forgiveness for having made a world apart from me. You see now, that is how you wake up from the dream. Forgive yourself for choosing to dream apart from me. So if we want to undo the ego, if we want to remember that love is right here and feel the peace of love's presence, we have to first forgive ourselves. So I just want to pause for a moment. You know, if you're going in that space of all the hard times and not feeling the peace of love's presence, the question for you is, where do you need to forgive yourself? Where are you judging yourself? Because that's what is perpetuating this painful dream of separation and suffering. The inability to forgive ourselves for ever having created this dream, this illusion of separation. It's a hard one to get your head around until you start to honor your grief and the pain that you've caused yourself and move into self-forgiveness. So I did a little follow-up work with this then. I wrote myself a love letter, having remembered how important it was that I forgive myself. And here's what my love letter said. Dear Janine, I'm sorry yet again for all the ways you judged yourself, for buying into the ego system that you are guilty for not being able to fix something. For Lisa, for your mom, for your siblings, for Jerry, the suffering of so many. I'm sorry you chose this life apart from love, beholden by the ego, and thus even believed that anyone could truly suffer. I'm sorry for every moment ever that you forgot who you are and bought into the ego message that you are guilty. I'm sorry for this pain you've unnecessarily inflicted upon yourself by your refusal to accept that you are always safe with all love, always home in light, peace, love, and power. So you see, first I needed to acknowledge the grief that this belief that I'm separate and alone created. And then I had to move into forgiveness. I forgive you for forgetting your power in union with all love. And that has nothing to do with more ego illusions. Your power is in the peace of knowing and living in all love. thus transcending this mad dream altogether. I forgive you 1,000 times over, 100 times 100, 70 times 7, for buying into the illusion of separation, which pulls you into time and space, away from the holy instant where all love lives and breathes with you. It is understandable the ego pulled out all the stops. Jerry's surgery, all his pain, your mother, dementia, struggling, your dear friend dying, all very powerful illusions. The ego perpetually bidding, worship me, tempting you to fall further into the dream of separation via guilt. And for me, that's it. That is it. We stay fearful and suffering when we believe we are guilty of something, when we buy into that ego message that we are guilty. And ultimately, we really have to forgive ourselves for venturing out, for thinking that we should be able to do this all on our own. So I find this love is so on it, you know, as I forgive myself and go, oh, wait a minute, I'm not guilty of any of it. It wasn't my job to fix any of this. It's my job to accept that everyone has their own storyline, their own lessons to learn, their own journey to take. It's my job to just keep remembering how deeply I'm loved and clearing those blocks, you know, that self-judgment that keeps me from receiving the love that's here for me, that keeps me from remembering that I'm still always home with love, that love is always right here with me. Because that's where all the power lies, and that's where I can then share the love with those who I hold dear. That's where I can be loving and extending that light to this world that is just broken with the struggle of separation. That's where I can be in a place where I can help others remember who they are. You know, I mentioned it's been since mid-December that I've done any podcasting or sharing on Divine Chaos or writing or any of that. Because the ego messages were so strong, I felt myself pulled away from my truth. And that kept me from being able to share the pure love that I am. And I knew I couldn't come on and do podcasts when I wasn't feeling that true connection, when I was feeling so blocked. So that takes me to another side of this. You know, when life is hard and it hits so hard and it's so painful, and we get caught up with the pain and the struggle and the thinking, why is there this suffering, and shouldn't I be able to fix this, and why can't I fix this? Sometimes that's when all we can do is try to reach for the self-compassion. Like, I hadn't figured out so much of the self-judgment, but I knew I needed to be compassionate with myself. I knew I needed to give myself time to grieve. And grief work I have done a lot of. There were times, you know, when Jerry got out of the hospital, we'd be like, okay, we've been crying a couple times a day here recently. Wow, this is progress. We both only cried once today. And then I remember the day when we were both like, oh, we almost made it through the whole day without crying. Sometimes we just have to give ourselves that. Sometimes we just need to let ourselves have the grief and have the space to have our feelings and really lower our expectations. And for me, one of those things was, well, you can't expect yourself to be in that state where you can share love when you're just feeling so broken yourself. Sometimes you just need to take care of yourself. Sometimes you just need to just give yourself the space to grieve and to be extra loving and compassionate with yourself. Jerry and I didn't have any idea what it was like to try to recover from such an enormous surgery, from open heart surgery. And just yesterday he was saying to me, I'm realizing my life has gotten quite simple because my main focus is just try to breathe. Get up, breathe, try to focus on breathing. He gets winded so easily. We never expected that. He'll make himself some coffee and some breakfast, and then he'll sit down just trying to breathe. And then he says, then I take, you know, I might just go rest then. And then I try to get some exercise or to walk or to go to cardio rehab, and then just breathe. And that's kind of how life is sometimes anyway. We just have to give ourselves permission to just focus on the basics, just breathe, and try to let yourself be loved. We found a book in the midst of this. Actually, a really sweet friend all the way from France recommended this book called Trust Life, and it's by Louise Hay. I've heard of her for years, but not really gotten into her work. Just really focuses a lot on positive affirmations and self-love. And so we made a practice of reading one of her daily affirmations in the Trust Life book. And something so powerful that she recommends is that you just look yourself in the mirror and really look into your own eyes and say, I love you. I really, really love you. And we both found that to be such a powerful experience because it ends up, if you really let yourself do it, feeling like it's your higher self speaking to you. So if you haven't done this, and Louise recommended it like 100 times a day, every time you pass a mirror, as often as you can, look yourself in the eyes and say, I love you. I really, really, really love you. And I find myself doing that more now, even when I'm not looking in the mirror, when I realize I'm maybe being hard on myself or having unrealistic expectations, or if I catch myself being the judge or just feeling bad or feeling grief. I just pause and breathe and say, I love you. I really, really love you. And I'm realizing, I think for many people, we never learn to do that. We go through our lives never really knowing how to love ourselves. And we spend so much time caught up in this voice of separation with this judge that we should be on our own and fixing things, that we don't know how to let the love in because the ego blocks it. So to be practicing honoring our grief, forgiving ourselves, for putting ourselves in this sense of isolation and separation from love, then we can move into really intentionally being more loving to ourselves and accepting more love. You know, that message I received so long ago when Love Itself said, tell them how much I love them. tell them how much I love them. The thing that's become abundantly clear is that if we're going to realize how deeply we are loved, we have to first allow ourselves to remove the blocks that keep us from receiving that love. We are each so deeply loved, and our true reality is that we live in love. We never left love's embrace. Love itself never left us. Love has never left us. But we wanted to try this crazy, mad experience to see what it was like to be separate. And now we can get back to remembering we're not separate. Love didn't leave us. And we don't have to buy into all these ego beliefs that we should fix something, that there's something wrong even, because everybody's, you know, picking their own life lessons and experiences. Nothing's really going wrong, except that we're blocking ourselves from remembering and from receiving the love that is here in each holy instant where we are fully present in the moment and letting ourselves remember who we are, where we truly abide, which is in love. And letting ourselves receive all of the love that is here for us. At the end of this journaling entry, I wrote, "All are still home and safe and living in love's embrace." We've just all forgotten. And it's time to remember. It's time to get back to the basics, to just breathe, to let love in, to forgive ourselves. May you just simply breathe in love today and let go of the judge, that you may remember how deeply, deeply you are loved today.